The post-it worked.
All righty. Good afternoon, everyone. We'll get the meeting started for the May 17th, 2022 Municipal Services Committee meeting. Before we jump in with the formal agenda, I'd like to maybe have us do some introductions because we have a few folks here and we have the new gentleman with us from Wethersfield, Mr. Presley. So maybe we can do some introductions. I'm not sure if Fred, if you can hear us or not.
I think he can.
So, all righty. Well, let's get going with the regular agenda. Fred, can you hear us? So we're going to do some, introductions. Can everyone hear me? All right. So Fred, can you hear me, Fred?
Send him a chat.
Well, I don't have enough fingers.
Yeah, we're doing that now.
Great. Thanks. All right. So let's have an motion to adopt the minutes of the April 19th meeting, and then we'll come back. So could I have a motion to adopt those meeting minutes?
So moved, Lori Spielman.
Thank you, Lori. Is there a second? Looks like John has a second. Great. Thank you, John. All those in favor of adopting the minutes as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions?
I abstain, Fred Presley. I wasn't here for that meeting, so.
Great.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you before, Peter.
It's all right. I'm used to that. So, so welcome, Fred. Maybe we can do some introductions for everyone. So I'll start off. Fred Peter Souza, town manager in Windsor and chairperson of the Municipal Services Committee. And I'm going to go down. Do I have a participants list? I do. I'm gonna go down the participants list. Or maybe we do staff, CROG staff first. And maybe Cheryl, if you wanted to start off there.
Sure. Hi, my name is Cheryl Assis and I'm the CROG Public Safety Director. Welcome, Fred and others.
Thank you.
All righty. Maybe we can Matt and Pauline, whoever is in physically at the offices.
That's great. Matt Hart, Executive Director from CROG. Fred, I know we had a chance to meet recently. It's great to have you here in our region. We look forward to working with you.
Amen. Thank you.
Pauline Yoder, Chief Operating Officer here at CROG. And I saw you at the last meeting, but can you get to introduce myself?
Tim Malone, Community Development Deputy here at CROG.
Great. Nice to meet you all.
Kim Bona, a Program Manager here at CROG.
Kim.
Hi. And we have Robin and Eric as well.
Yep. Hi, Fred. My name is Robin Nichols, and I am the Principal Program Manager for Municipal Services here at CROG. Welcome.
Robin, thank you.
Snowden, IT and GIS Coordinator at CROG.
Eric.
Alrighty. Thank you, CROG staff, and maybe members of the committee. If you guys want to introduce yourself, then maybe we can start with Lori. Lori?
I'm Lori Spielman, First Selectman for the Town of Ellington.
Lori?
And I'm just going to go around the horn here. Stanley.
Stanley Hawthorne, Bloomfield Town Manager. Welcome, Fred.
Thanks, Stanley.
And we go over to David Norse.
Hello, I'm David Norse. I'm an assistant town engineer for Southington. Thank you.
Mark?
Okay, I'm Mark Walter. Hi, Fred. Town administrator for Columbia, up near Tolland and Lebanon.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
John, I believe you will be next.
Okay, John Elsesser, I'm the town manager of Coventry. I started my career in Wethersfield.
Oh, really?
After grad school in 1981. So welcome to the state. remember the town cinder blocks that behind you right now? Well,
I'm sure you do.
Anytime, call me for anything I can help on.
Appreciate that, John.
Melissa from Simsbury.
Hi, sorry, I'm off camera. I'm at home with a quarantined toddler. I'm Melissa Appleby. I'm the deputy town manager in Simsbury. Welcome.
Thanks, Melissa.
All righty. Well, good to have you online with us today, Fred. And we've got all sorts of action going on with Municipal Services Committee. So this is a great meeting to join us with. So we'll see if there's any public comment. Kim, I don't believe I saw anyone from the public. No one's raised their hand. So we will close public comment and move on to item three, which is executive director's report. So Matt, all yours.
Thank you, Peter. And good afternoon again, everyone. It's great to have you here with us today. Peter, I just have three items I wanted to touch on. Actually, most of my report will cover when we go over the survey and talk about the potential RPIP applications. But our waste management initiative, which I know most of the committee members are very familiar with, Fred, for your edification, CROG did commission an RFP to select a consultant to help us to put together a waste management plan with both short-term and long-term goals and objectives. And that is driven in large part by the closure of MIRA, our Hartford-based waste-to-energy plant. So we are in negotiations with a preferred consultant now, and hope to have an announcement within the next week or so. And I want to thank everybody who's been involved in that work to date. But more to come on that. The next item I had, just another reminder, as we discussed at the recent policy board meeting, we're very excited that we're going to be holding our annual meeting in person, and that is scheduled for June 15th from noon to 2 p.m. at the Farmington Gardens. I know we've had an excellent response thus far. If anybody online or in the meeting today has not had a chance to register and you're interested, please do. Our guest speaker is going to be Dr. Mohammed Al-Qadre from UConn's New School of Public Policy. Mohammed's a very dynamic speaker. He's going to be talking about our labor shortage in the public sector, as well as other relevant topics. And then the last item I wanted to raise today, Peter, is I know the committee members have expressed some interest in talking about either a regional or a town-by-town study of fire and EMS capacity. We've talked a little bit about it, bringing in a guest speaker to that effect. And I will coordinate with Peter, our chair, in terms of when it would be best to schedule that item. That completes my report. Happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you, Matt. Does anyone have any questions for Matt at this point? Just one question, Matt and Pauline. I can't recall, did we talk about how we might be managing the solid waste contract? Was that going to come back to Municipal Services, or we're going to work mainly, is that going to be seated with the North Central Solid Waste Authority? Did we have that conversation?
That actually it will be driven by CROG as opposed to CSWA. So Robin is looking to form the steering committee for that in terms of that contract and where it goes. So we will be taking names.
And we'll be looking for a good, I'm sorry, Pauline.
No, go ahead.
We'll be looking for a good representative group. You know, some of our towns have a lot of experience in waste management as well as dedicated staff. So we'd certainly like to involve them, as well as some of our smaller communities who really have the need here. So it'll be a good diverse steering committee.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. So moving, if there's no other questions for Matt, we'll move on to item four, Thank you very much, everyone who responded to our the survey that staff put out. And I'm not sure, Pauline, if you're going to lead this or it's going to go over to Robin, but I'll leave it with you first.
It's going to be a tag team effort between Pauline and myself. She'll lead off. Great. And then I'm handle some of the middle portion and then back to her.
Thank you again for everybody who responded to the survey. Thank you to Robin for managing that process and putting it together. With regards to the survey, we asked you about what your staffing needs are, what you want to work on regionally, and what you want CROG to focus on. Okay, you can go to sort of the next slide. And so the results, the first is the highest need that you identified in terms of staffing was economic development, code enforcement, and assessment, followed pretty closely by animal control, building inspection, and capital project administration. So those are where your highest needs are. And there are other needs as well, but we'll sort of be focusing on those top items. Next slide. And then interest in working on a regional basis. Once again, highest items was workforce development, economic development, animal control, public safety, and GIS were sort of those top five items. And then Kim, you can go to the next slide, I think. And then the final question of what do you want us to focus on? And this keeps cycling up. Economic development, recycling, waste management, and sustainability, which we are, you know, currently working on. Regional projects and staffing needs were sort of those top items. And so based on sort of this feedback, we've put together the beginnings of potential RPIP applications or suggestions or ideas in order for us to move forward in some of these areas. Specifically economic development or vitality, animal control, either facility or officer, depending on where the interests and the needs are, region-wide inspection and shared assessor. I'll turn it over to Matt for now in terms of talking about the different projects, and then we can have sort of discuss things from there.
Well, thank you, Pauline, for setting the stage. And for those of you who are new, RPIP stands for the Regional Performance Incentive Program. It's an initiative that the state has funded, I would say, over the past 10 years or so, but had been unfunded for some years under the previous governor. And the state has some number of criteria they set out. It's really an effort to promote regional service sharing. And our COGS, our councils of governments, we have 9 in the state, the capital region being the largest. The COGS typically will coordinate and submit these applications. So trying to be responsive to the survey and to what we've heard over the years in terms of our most, the areas of most significant interest. And this is just the early stages. We're just fleshing out some ideas for you all to react to, you know, putting together an actual application that we would submit later this summer. You know, we know we'd have to put a lot of additional work into. But the first one we wanted to discuss with you, and Peter, what I would suggest is maybe I just work through the next few slides and then we can pause for Q&A.
So the first would be
in the area of economic vitality or development. We're thinking these are all 3-year grants for those of you who are new at roughly $150,000 a year for salary, benefits, related costs, et cetera. So that brings us to a total of $450,000. This application would be to establish a region-wide director. It could be an employee of CROG, or it could be a consultant that we retain. And what we're contemplating here is that our towns would purchase the services of this staff person on an a la carte basis. Some of our towns already have dedicated economic development staff. So the need is probably not as significant in those communities. Many of our smaller towns, perhaps most of our smaller towns, do not have anyone dedicated to this function. So we would hire this person or this firm to create a program for us over a three-year period. And any of these new initiatives that I'm going to talk about, you know, we all know that there'd be a significant amount of work associated with setting up what would be virtually a new enterprise. But the towns would purchase the services, some dedicated time from this individual or from this firm on an a la carte basis. But we would be looking for the towns to make some type of commitment to ensure the program is successful. So that's one suggestion, this economic vitality initiative. Next slide. This would be to set up a region-wide office of inspections. And one of the things I've been thinking about and discussing with our staff is I'm very intrigued by the health district model, absent a separate board of directors. So many of you on the call have very good experience working with regional health districts. And under this model, what we're contemplating is that we would have a director and support staff centrally located at the COG. Those people would be COG employees. And then, you know, over time, we would hire other people, probably also COG employees, they could be town employees, we would have to vet what would work best, who would be assigned to the member towns. I know many of the folks on the call are members of the Eastern Highlands Health District. Think about that model, where we've got a director and support staff centrally located, and that would be here at CROG, and then the people, the professional staff who report to them are actually working at our member town's town hall. So this is a pretty ambitious proposal. And what we're contemplating here is that we would retain someone, a director, who could build this program over a period of time. It could be an employee, it could be a contractor. I would think in this scenario, most likely an employee, but don't know that definitively. And the services we would look to provide, if feasible, would be building inspection, fire prevention, code enforcement to include zoning, and inland wetlands, IWA. Now, once we get this person on board, and after we do this work, you know, we may determine that this suite of services is too large, and maybe we need to hone in on building inspection, fire marshal, what have you. But we're thinking big to start. So we would use CROG funds to help subsidize this initiative, and it would support 25% of the required match for the director. And the municipalities would chip in on a per diem basis. What we're contemplating right now over the initial 3 years is a estimated budget of roughly $750,000 a year. That would include the cost of a director and one administrative support person. But essentially we'd be hiring someone who could build a program for us over this 3 year period. Next slide, please. Here's another ambitious initiative. And there's at least one other COG in the state that's doing this, the Northeast COG. This would be to create a regional office of assessment services, And we would hire a director located here at CROG, and then some number of assessors who would be assigned to our various member towns. You know, this, we would need to flesh out the cost in more detail. As you see right here, the cost is to be determined because we have to better ascertain the level of interest between our member towns. And on this one, I think it would be very helpful to invite John Filchak or someone else from the Northeast COG to talk about their longstanding program, which is which has been very, very successful for at least a decade. Next slide, please. The next application that we are contemplating, and we're thinking of a couple related to animal control. We know that there's interest in the eastern part of our region in creating a regional animal control facility. And we would request that the grant would fund 75% of the initial startup costs. And then our participating towns would contribute 25%. We could look at the ability of CROG to subsidize that in some fashion. But this is an idea, you know, we would need a little bit more work here to ascertain how many towns would be interested in this initiative. This is another service that the Northeast COG has provided successfully for a period of years now. And I'm sure they'd be able to come in and make a presentation to us. Next slide. Here's another animal control idea. So this would not include a facility. This would just be hiring animal control officers who would be assigned to work at shelters that are owned and controlled by our member towns. Our cost estimate here between salary, benefits, related costs, roughly $100,000 per employee, and that the municipalities would share the services of the officers. You know, this would in particular be designed, not exclusively, but really looking at our smaller towns who maybe do not need a full-time person. And the ACO would share a vehicle, ideally something that's contributed by one of our member towns, but you know, if we don't have that available, we could look at adding that to the application. And then the municipalities over the 3-year cycle of the grant would contribute 25% of the cost in the first year, 50% in the second year, 75% in the third year. And this would be self-funding by the fourth year of the program. We could also set up something of a mutual aid initiative here for when ACOs are on vacation, et cetera. Next slide, please. Oh, okay. So why don't you go back? You go back, Kim, to the last slide. So before I stop to take questions, you know, this is a pretty ambitious set of potential applications we'd like to get your reaction to. As I said at the beginning, there'd be a lot more work both in fleshing out the applications, but more importantly, in establishing these regional programs and initiatives. Something I am interested in doing, absent or even before we submit the RPEP, is going out now and looking to retain some number of part-time building officials and fire marshals who could work in our member towns on an on-call basis. I'm hearing from many of you that you have that need right now. You either need a part-time or a full-time building official, or a part-time or a full-time fire marshal, zoning enforcement officer, et cetera. So even before we get to the RPIP stage, the RPIP application, I would like to go out and see if we can recruit some number of part-time people right now who could work for us on a per diem basis. So I know that's a lot, Peter. I'll stop here and we can take any questions you might have, and we'd love your initial reaction, obviously.
All right, before I open it up, just want to make sure we all understand timing for the RPIP as you folks anticipate OPM opening applications, or so refresh our memories on that.
So RPIP is now on a rolling basis, but the first evaluation is going to be done in early August. So we're targeting finishing at least the first tranche of RPIP applications by sometime in July so that we get it in for that first review. My understanding is that OPM will be reviewing them on a, they said quarterly, but who knows, but it is definitely on a rolling basis. So if we sort of miss that first August review, it's not the, we can still continue to submit applications. So there's opportunity there, especially for some of the ones that, that might need more fleshing out.
And Matt or Pauline, have we historically gone to the policy board with the RPIP, and do municipalities still have to do a resolution?
Good news is municipalities no longer have to submit a resolution. We only need a resolution from our policy board. And my suggestion would be to bring this to policy board next week, the list of all the ones that we want to or think we want to apply for, and so that we have it in hand for the future, even if we don't make the July application, continue to finish it up and submit. So that would be my suggestion.
All right. So you're looking for questions, feedback, prioritization, Matt and Pauline, from the group?
Yep. Good idea, bad idea. What do you think?
All right. I'm going to open it up. These are great, some great ideas, things that we've talked about at various, to various degrees over the years. So as you folks know me, I'm pretty informal. So jump right on in and provide your thoughts and questions.
Mark Walter.
Hey, Mark.
Hi. If it could be flexible in a way that you could come in, I know it'd be a lot easier to get every town to commit that wants to come in the very beginning and divide up the costs and all. But the challenge is what I'm seeing is, like, right now, my assessor, everything is fine. My building official, it's fine. But that could all change tomorrow. So if we could set it up that a town could come in, and maybe when you come in, you might have to pay a fixed amount of equipment costs up front because you weren't there in the beginning, for vehicles, acquisition, stuff like that. But if it could be flexible that it was on a scale that somehow you could come in after it's already set up, when the need hits, that's important.
I would say that other than the animal control facility one, I think the goal that some of these could definitely be set up so that it's sort of a, on an as needed, as you said, some of them we're thinking of as a per diem basis or project basis, like the economic development, economic vitality would be, it could be, so that could possibly be, I would just say that if we don't have enough interest at the very beginning, it might not be one that we actually end up applying for because we might not be able to get it off the ground.
Yeah, and just to add to Pauline's comments, you know, I think once someone decides to come in, we would be looking for some type of commitment, you know, just in fairness to the program, whether that's a three-year commitment, you know, whatever we deem to be standard. But the primary benefit here, you know, looking at the economic development one, looking at the inspection one, the assessment one, in my view, is bringing someone on board who can build a program for us over time. And maybe it starts off small because there are going to be any number of issues we encounter here, right? For example, many of us may have employees right now who are represented by bargaining units. We've got to respect that whole issue. So maybe we start with a very small program of 3 to 4 towns that over the course of a decade or so really grows into something that's providing support to 50% of our communities. You know, we don't know, but good question, Mark. Thank you.
Other thoughts, ideas, questions? John.
So obviously I've been upfront that we're working with a group of towns on the regional canine services, more for the kennel, maybe spilling over into the services. And we're just letting you know, we're continuing to meet on that with Colin, Vernon, and Bolton and us. So we'll be continuing and hope to get support and obviously can open the door a little bit more. But we've had a couple of meetings and we'll have a couple more. So on track.
John, just as an aside, if you need building plans and stuff like that, I've got ones that are only 3 years old.
So thanks. We've met with South Windsor, which hosts South Windsor, East Hartford, and Manchester. Is it Manchester? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
And, you know, had meetings with them about their cost and so forth. But Vernon has a pound they would be renovating, maybe expanding. So I'll let them know if they need plans that they are available.
Thank you. What are some other folks see interest in this? Do you think, should we look at, I'm going to throw some things out to play devil's advocate just to get folks thinking, but sub-regional, are we, these ideas too big to swallow? What's the scale? Any thoughts along those lines? Any prioritization that of these four or five ideas that rise to the top? Maybe not necessarily for your community, but again, we're thinking with our regional hat on.
Peter, since I am still unmuted, I'll say, I like the economic development thing for a lot of our small towns. It's daunting to try to have a permanent person, but we have always like one or two key projects that we never get to, but could make a big impact. So having a resource available would be helpful.
John, are you thinking someone would be able to do some groundwork, do some handholding with as prospects, those handful of prospects come along? Is that what you're thinking, or more on the planning end, or all the above?
I think somebody that, has some out more in the country, it's hard because landowners don't want to give up land. Mm-hmm. So there's some of it's convincing them that what's for the better good, but also walking them through the stages. So there's a lot of handholding. In terms of what they want to do. And then they have no idea. I mean, they read something in a paper and they say, oh, we're going to do this. But, they don't know who to talk to and all the development processes. So it all just takes time that we kind of lose in a day-to-day operation that we just can't get around to it. But so it's walking the owners through the process, educating, because they're farmland owners usually. Secondly, they have no idea about zoning and regulations, and sometimes our regulations need to be tweaked. And then third, how to market it and how to reach out to the economic development players who don't like dealing with amateurs. it's a waste of their time. So I don't think it's getting the project ripe and then getting the sunlight on it to grow. Mm-hmm. And we're stuck in it's just there. So we need to, start the whole process from day one. And a lot of that sometimes is the infrastructure. They all have these wild dreams. It's like, no, you don't have water or sewer.
Mark or Lori, as being some of the smaller communities is there any thoughts on that? Is that, kind of as John outlined, just trying to get a sense of how we might be able to give some guidance to Pauline and company to craft something.
For economic development, I could see it as a signing up as a per project fee structure. Like I have what was a very popular restaurant. It's been empty for a decade. It's a pretty good sized building. It's all zoned properly. The new owner just put a lot of money into the plaza, but it still needs a major restaurant. And that could be something I could assign to the economic development coordinator. Please help us market this. So almost like an a la carte system of what your needs are. And we are firing up an economic development commission. We're talking about our board of select meeting tonight. So the timing could be good to get some professional help in challenging the commission members on what their roles can be as volunteers to help a professional. So that's needed. And then the other aspect of any official, whether it's an assessor or a building official, is coverage, vacation coverage too. That's something that we could all sign up for, because I know that's a problem. And all of a sudden someone takes a 2-week vacation and everything shuts down.
Kind of like a range rider type of concept, right, where somebody's available to.
At least they could do the emergency, check the footings, make sure everything looks good, off you go. You know, we could coordinate the big projects like plan review and all.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Lori, any thoughts on economic development or otherwise?
I think it's a great idea. I wouldn't mind paying per project. Like we talked about a little earlier.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do any of these have a lower priority than, or you flip it around the other way, anything rise? We got economic development seems to have gotten a little bit of attraction. Anything here either rise to the top or something to say, hey, let's put that aside for now? Because I don't know, Pauline, I don't know how much money the state has, but I don't know if we, you know, what our competitiveness would be to submit.
$5 million.
Statewide?
Yeah.
Selfishly, in Simsbury, our biggest challenge has been in the area of assessment. In the assessor's office, we have funding for either contracted services or temporary help in that office, and we just have not been able to find the help.
Yeah.
We're in a similar boat here in Wethersfield in the assessment office. And I think that economic development is by nature a regional exercise, I think. So that just makes sense. Some of the other things are a lot more local, but obviously we all have different needs, and it is going to be kind of cyclical. I think we're all seeing a lack of employees out there in a lot of areas, but assessment is a big one. And the other area we're seeing a big issue is some of the entry-level jobs, custodial, field maintenance, parks and rec, those types of things, very hard to keep and get people. So I don't know the answer, but I think some of these ideas could be very helpful. But to Matt's point, I don't know how it's difficult to set up a structure and plan around that, because it's going to be, you know, for a while we'll have it, and then we won't, because they get they go for a higher paying job somewhere else. And I think we're all kind of dealing with that now. I was dealing with it down in Virginia before I came up here, and it's just the nature of the employment market right now. So anything that could be done to help, I think, is a great idea. But I'm not sure how to make that all work.
So part of that, you know, to play off of what Fred mentioned is a pipeline of folks. Unless we're going to be able to do consolidation, which, you know, just, okay, we're not going to have, you know, 5 assessors. We're going to have 2 assessors that are going to serve those communities. We're all struggling with getting to there. I think we've all talked about it for years, but how do we make that seismic shift for some of us? I mean, that's another piece that I know Matt and I've talked briefly about, just how do we generate a pipeline? Is it, you know, Windsor's actually kicking around the idea of using some of our federal monies to create entry-level apprentice program and jobs, knowing that we might not be able to keep them. If it's a two-year entry-level position, we get them trained, and maybe it's a succession plan. Maybe it isn't. Maybe they go off and work for Mark. You know, or some wherever, but at least we've got a pipeline of some kind of talent in the course of 18 months or 24 months with us. So I've got half of my council agreeing to that, and the other half are on the fence. Why should we train somebody and let them walk away? I said, well, we do it all the time. So I don't know if anybody has any thoughts along that line. I think, you know, we've been searching for several of these positions, and there's no one out there. I mean, we got people who are retiring who are letting their certificates lapse they haven't, you know, continued to get in the 180 hours and, you know, what they had to get to for be a fire marshal or building inspector. So love to be able to bring some of those folks back. And I don't know if the state, if there's any in immediate situation, is there any relief from the state to be able to say, hey, even though your hours lapsed in the last 6 months, you can come back in for the next year as an affit with your official capacity. So Matt, did I see your hand?
Yes. Thank you, Peter. So I can speak to that issue briefly. And I think we're going to have to look at any number of our municipal positions in that manner, whether or not it's creating an apprenticeship program or something similar. And in a way, I think we've been doing this for years on the public safety side, if you think about it. You know, we hire police officers with very little training and we send them to the academy. Those of us who have full-time fire departments or even volunteer departments, we hire people with very little experience and we train them over time. I think we've got to start doing that in other disciplines as well, but understanding that's going to come at a cost and with some risk. So I'm in the very beginnings of a conversation with Capital Workforce Partners and the Building Officials Association, as well as the Department of Labor, and one or two state legislators who are passionate about this, about creating an apprenticeship program for building officials, where we'd be bringing people right out of technical school with no other work experience or very little work experience, hooking them up with a mentor and assigning them to a municipality. And obviously the town would need to agree to a set of terms, et cetera. So the good news is we're beginning that conversation. The bad news is it's just that we're only at the beginning. And I think it's a model we're going to have to look at for any number of our professions.
Matt, do you think that fits in the under the umbrella of RPIP?
I defer to Pauline.
Yeah, we had this discussion internally, and I think it needs a lot more definition before we could apply under RPIP, whereas some of these other ones I feel more comfortable saying, okay, we could do this, you know, if we can pull all the information and the towns together, we could do it within the 2-3 month period. That one, I think we need a little bit more sort of building and understanding. And so maybe in the future, and it could be something that we use the CROG regional fund to do instead.
Okay. Well, I'd love to be part of the conversation based upon the research that I've done. There's some, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's some pretty good programs out there. Some of the counties in other parts of the country have done some interesting things.
Great.
I guess I'm kind of looking to try to provide staff with a little bit of direction here. I know traditionally we've gone with, you know, whole menu to the policy board. And does the committee feel comfortable going with these four areas? Do we want to narrow it down a little bit? Many of us are on the policy board ourselves. What do you think best serves this relatively short time frame? Because you got a policy board meeting in a week and a half, 2 weeks? So
8 days.
Anything you'd like to knock off the list? I'm gonna go at that from that way. Keep the whole menu. I see Mark indicating that. Fred's kind of indicating that. All right, Matt, just feels like you're back in West Hartford, right? Real good, strong direction.
Indeed, yeah. Peter, if I could just speak briefly to this district idea. You know, one of the benefits to that, well, obviously you've got your economy of scale, but it's the redundancy when somebody's out and having people to cover, et cetera. You know, that's another benefit to growing a program over time.
I agree. If we had building inspector in place right now, I'd grab it in June for the 3 weeks. One of my inspectors is going to be on medical leave. So
if I can, a lot of towns around us have teamed up with the conservation districts for inland wetland services. So there is a model for inland wetlands that could be looked at as, even if they become a partner with CROG, to be a CROG-sponsored inland wetlands. And inland wetlands is a lot easier because the state regs are basically universal. Zoning is a little bit more complicated because every town wants to have their own rules. So, you know, serving multiple towns with zoning is a little hard because you got to like look things up all the time. You just don't know it. But wetlands is really easy and it's being done. And it may be that we should have a conversation with the North Central Conservation District to see if we could partner with them to make it grow their program.
That's a great idea. Great. I forgot about North Central.
Because I stole their staff to bring it in-house. But
we had a long history with North Central. We just outgrew them.
And we kind of did too. I need it full time.
Yeah.
But I think we could grow them because they're already doing this and help them and market them. And, you know, they might be able to provide some other things. But I agree fully with Matt on the health district model is a good model. And I would say that one of the things when you bring in, a lot of us have only part-time fire marshals. When you're dealing with issues like hoarding, fire marshal actually has the rules. Fire marshals are more powerful than anybody else. They could go into a place. They could just go in. Everyone else, you got to get warrants and everything else. So when you put together like a hoarding team, which, you know, we don't talk about a lot, but we all have it because it's I would add hoarding to that mix. Because having people who know how to deal with hoarding, God, it would be great to just have a team be able to help you come in.
And I'll share this out to everybody. If anybody's looking to, we have a multidisciplinary group in town. We're just the right size to be able to do that. So anybody has that, we're more than happy to, you know, get connected with our fire marshal. And so we have fire marshal, social services, police, and health department. We've created a little multidisciplinary team to attack just what John said, those challenges of when we do have hoarding situations. So
because that becomes all encompassing once you start it. It's like you got to stop everything else you're doing to do hoarding.
Yeah. So
Peter, just one other thing. A lot of our small towns, our employees are all part-time in the land use offices. But if you get this started, they might be interested in going full-time working for the COG. Mm-hmm. And then billing back to the town. So now they have a full-time job, not a bunch of part-time jobs.
Absolutely. And I like John's suggestion about maybe talk with North Central, because maybe that's an opportunity to, from an apprentice perspective as well.
Yeah, because they do that right now. They train people all the time.
So maybe we can enhance their pipeline. So Matt and Pauline, is that any kind of direction, guidance for you to prepare for a policy board?
No, I think that's great. Now we'll proceed with these ideas. Before we leave the conversation, somewhat related, anyone have any concerns of us going out and seeing if we can find some part-time employees who could work per diem, whether it's building, fire prevention, what have you?
I think go ahead, proceed, and I'll send you a name of my recently retired building official and phone numbers.
Okay.
Because I know he's willing to do some.
And that's the market we're looking to tap, is, you know, someone who's semi-retired in particular.
Yeah,
it seems like a great place to start.
Well, hope you guys can turn over a few stones that we haven't been able to, because maybe we're just not asking the right folks.
Kim, you know any fire marshals?
I'm not commenting, John.
Okay.
I know a lot of fire marshals.
You're going to try and get me in trouble, are you?
Nobody wants to work. All right. So, all righty. So this is bleeds right into the next item, which is the 22-23 work plan.
Correct. So, sorry, Peter. So I'll take this in terms of this is we have a couple things that are ongoing that we have already planned. So that's the Firehouse Software RFP, EZIQC Users Group meeting. EZIQC also is up for bid this fall, so that's sort of a larger undertaking. So that's both for general contracting and road and bridge maintenance. And we're looking into and trying to add pavement reclamation to that bid. We'll see how that goes. We're also looking at the EJA. There's various NOFOs that are going to be coming out in the next few months. I think the next big one for this group might be middle mile broadband, which is coming out in mid-June, but we'll have to see how that goes. Of course, these are PIP grant applications. The job portal pilot, we're also looking to see where that's going to go. Continuing on with the EDA DECD grant, that's primarily under Tim's group right now, and wherever we can help with that, and the solid waste study are all things that are planned projects and activities. And you can go to the next slide, Kim. And then we also have our sort of our daily donuts that we make. So the CRPC annual bid, the energy consortia, natural gas is still on hold, and electricity is ongoing, so people can join in. They're not going to be able to join in at the amazing rate that we got last fall. I mean, we hit that reverse auction amazingly at the right time. There's EZIQC, online permitting, fiber. You all know all the things that we're doing. So we're working on those. Next slide, Kim. And then we also have all the other stuff that we do on a regular basis. The Human Services Coordinating Council meets at least once a year. Sometimes we meet twice a year, but I think right now we're meeting about once a year. We now do have a regional election monitor. That work is fairly minimal. And all the other things that we continue to work on as well. And those are the things that we're working on. We're always willing to take on more. I mean, I think a great example of that this year was the DEI RFP and the budget presentation RFP that's going to come out in the next couple of weeks. Those weren't on our 21-22 work plan, but we added them because you asked for it. So there's always flexibility there. And if there's anything that you think that you want us to be doing that we're currently not doing, we are all ears.
Oh, that's a tremendous amount of work that staff continues to deliver year in and year out. So thank you to all the CROG staff. And I'm looking at the bottom of the sheet there, which you have listed the potential service sharing expansion areas. I think that's 3 years worth of work right there. I guess we look at the RPIP that we just talked about, in my estimation, that's, you know, those some significant heavy lifts if even one of those came about through RPIP. And then obviously what Matt talked about was trying to stand up some interim service for fee situations. I will just mention one on the potential share that's not on the service sharing is I've been hearing some some rumblings about the Municity, which is the building permit software, that there may be some poor service being delivered. I guess that company got bought, and I heard some rumblings last week that some communities, there's only a handful of communities left in Connecticut that have Municity, and some of them might be looking to jump ship. So something to keep, I'm going to do some more research on Is it Viewpoint? Is that Viewpoints? Is that the group that when we did the other RFP several years ago?
They're still. We have two vendors. Yeah.
Okay. So we do have options. Sounds like.
Yes. Okay. ViewPermit is got bought out by OpenGov, they're now called OpenGov, they're solid.
Okay.
Their customer service didn't drop off after getting bought out.
Okay. Then I know there's some things happening at the state level regarding dog licensing, believe it or not. There was a significant amount of discussion this last General Assembly, and I believe they set up either a working group or a task force. State wants to take that in. I don't know if you folks know that. They want to take it in-house, and the clerk's offices are all freaked out about it, to put it lightly. So it is something probably I know my clerk's office is keeping an eye on. So, but anybody, I guess my suggestion is that we kind of continue. There's a ton of stuff out there. You've got, and I'm not sure adding anything else onto the staff's workload at this point would be fair or prudent. That's my estimation. I know we kind of lost some folks, but I don't know, Lori or Melissa or whomever, any thoughts on that? Concur, disagree, want Pauline to work Sunday afternoon?
Looks like a full plate to me.
I agree. Yeah. We got to concentrate on what we have maybe right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So certainly solid waste is going to take a big effort, big lift from a number of us, including staff, to make that process. So, all right, I'm going to take that as we're good to go. And again, really a sincere appreciation to all the staff for continuing to make this place hum along. So, all right, are we at staff reports? Is that where we are?
Yeah, I just have a couple of things. One is, we are doing a cybersecurity virtual training for CEOs and CAOs. So if you have not signed up, please sign up for that. It's not for your IT person. It is for you and or your chief elected official. It's at a very high level. They're very short. They'll be about 45 minutes to an hour or so. I would highly encourage people to attend that so you have awareness of what's coming down the pike. And then Treated Roadside bid is going to be issued on June 2nd. That is a no piggybacking bid. So if you have not put in your quantities, put in your quantities with Kim today. That's it.
Great. One question that popped up in my mind. Have we had many folks interested in our HR consulting services?
Nope.
And we're going to be critically assessing that, Peter. I'm going to be meeting with staff soon to review the program.
Okay. I know that was a big request several years ago, so I don't know I don't know if it's a marketing piece or what that is, but I know there was 5 years ago that was everyone was scrambling for those type of contract or projects. So, okay. Anybody have any questions? Okay, don't see any. Any informational sharing between folks? Hopefully, everyone's budgets starting to wrap up. Hopefully not too many horror stories. All right. Can't see how many folks left with us. If not, so we do have a few folks. Matt, Pauline, anybody have anything for the good of the order at this point in time?
Nothing additional. Really appreciate your feedback and support.
All right. Well, great. Fred, on another note, I'll try to reach out to you in the coming weeks or so. We talk a little bit about a managers association and some other things that are happening in the region. So
that'd be great. Appreciate
glad
it.
Glad you could join us today. And
my pleasure.
With that, we'll stand adjourned at 1:03.
Perfect. Thanks, everybody.
All right, folks.
Thank you all.
See you next week.
Bye, everyone.